from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
It's easy to sum it up. When you just talk about practice, we sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
Jeremy White.
Not a game. We're talking about practice. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man.
And Joe DiBiase.
When you come in the arena and you see me play, you see me play, don't you?
Absolutely.
You see me give everything I got, right?
Absolutely.
But we talking about practice right now. We talking about
practice.
Man, I hear you. It's funny to me too. It's strange to me too. But we talking about practice, man. We not even talking about the game, the actual game, when it matters.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
That's right. We are indeed talking about practice.
Yeah.
We're talking about practice. What are we talking about? Practice. It's practice today. The Bills have practice. Their first of training camp. Moving away to St. John Fisher. Moving in. Forging those bonds.
Yep, starting up their NCAA college football dynasty.
That's definitely right. There's got to be a connected dynasty going on in these dorms.
Yep.
So, good morning, Jeremy and Joe, live from St. John Fisher. We're talking about practice and coverage of training camp. Bills training camp is brought to you by St. John Fisher. From St. John Fisher, is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, in part by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, what's your outlet, and by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. 803-0550, first practice today. We'll, of course, get you our thoughts on it throughout the morning. We'll send you tweets. We'll be back here tomorrow morning to talk about it. Sal's going to be live on the field with us as well when he gets a chance to check in. Sean McDermott carried live, 9:15. The national media rolling through. We expect to talk with Evan Washburn tomorrow. He'll be here. So, yeah, it's camp season, and that means – this is what I wanted to get to. It's time for viral camp highlights.
Yes.
And much to – well – chagrin, however you want to say it. The first, Matt Harmon wrote about this. He referred to it as the timeline melting highlight.
Okay.
The timeline destroying training camp highlight. The first goes to Mahomes and Worthy.
Yes. Mahomes rolling out left, flips his hips, fires it down the field. Worthy's is past everybody.
And the super fast guy ran by everybody and caught a touchdown.
Yes.
Xavier Worthy, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly. Gold jacket already.
It is training camp viral highlight season.
Yeah.
And listen, we'll do a flow chart here. Did you see a great highlight? Yes. Was it your team? Yes. Love it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
This guy's going to be good. Was it another team? Okay, it's just practice. It doesn't count.
Doesn't matter.
But Worthy, listen, we've done this conversation a bunch. There are two hot button topics on receiver that are not on the Bills. One of them is Diggs.
Yeah.
There's lots of conversations still to be had about Diggs. And the other is Xavier Worthy in Kansas City, where they made that trade. They got that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea if he's going to be any good or if it's going to work out. But I do know, and this is, to me, this is not debatable. Every time he does anything, I have to think about how the Bills made that happen.
Yes,
and that's the first time it happened.
Yes,
training camp. 68-yard touchdown through the – doesn't count, doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But instantly, the Bills made that happen for them.
It won't come up as often. This is kind of the Mahomes-Allen thing too, isn't it? It won't come up as often if both players are good, right?
I don't know that the two have to even bother being linked.
Well, see, I think they might be. Like, because I think the noise the disdain of that trade and giving the Chiefs Worthy is going to be 10 times louder if Keon Coleman can't play.
Yeah, I do think the two are separate because it doesn't mean – to me, the main point is if the two receivers right now flip teams, my opinion would be the same. I can't believe you let them get Keon Coleman. It's not about the players.
Right.
It's about the approach. And the approach will be only, for me, if he's good. Because if you get Coleman, fine. If he's great, that's amazing. That's still the team you're chasing. If they're both great, then I've, at best,
net neutral.
It's net neutral.
Yeah.
And I can't be going net neutrals with the team that keeps beating me. And, in fact, this year, like, this is a main thing about the Bills this year that's going to be interesting. Kansas City last year offensively had a down year and tooled up with a number one receiver in the draft, first round pick in the draft, and Marquise Brown. Like, their two biggest moves were at that position. So you could talk about the Bills receivers in a couple different ways. Matt Harmon also writing at the website, at the site of the same article about the timeline melting Worthy highlight. He said he thinks the Bills group is a lot better than people give it credit for.
Right.
Great. If the Bills have a wide receiver room that is better than last year's room, that's good news. But this kind of gets to however you want to make these analogies. The goal isn't to be better than you were last year. It's to be better than everybody was last year or everybody is this year.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a Bills wide receiver group that's a little bit better, but if you are falling behind other teams' offenses, you are not actually gaining ground. So if Kansas City pushes way up and becomes the unquestioned number one offense again and you've drifted back, I'm going to feel farther away and like you've got work to do. So it's always about, for me, Joe, keeping eyes on who it should be. And it's not your own standard, really. It's the league standard.
Right.
And they have been the league standard.
And can I, for a moment, let's look at the Chiefs receivers. Are they actually about to be really good at receiver? Like, how possible is it? Because I don't know, this is not solid. We don't have a suspension yet, but I've seen it floated out there more and more recently, like, hey, I wonder if Rashee Rice doesn't get suspended until 2025.
Right, that happens sometimes. That's the timeline.
Yeah. So if that's the case, like, we haven't talked about him really this offseason much at all, other than all the legal trouble. He got in a car accident, injured people, left the scene. Like, it was bad. He's going to get suspended for sure at some point, but maybe not this year. If he is on the team this year and plays the whole season, then suddenly, you know, Worthy versus Coleman, like, Worthy, by the way, with viral catches, I don't know how many he's going to get, because aren't they all kind of going to look the same?
You would think they're all going to be
Whereas Coleman, you might think he's an artist, where like, oh, one of them's a right-handed, one-handed catch over a guy, and another one, he's going over his head, and, you know, there might be a bunch of different looking ones for Coleman.
Well,
but
to that point, just to jump on that, I'm thinking of a Sammy Watkins catch he made. Like, if you think about these catches that go viral or everyone seems to get to just kind of latch onto, why is that worthy catch one that matters? Because he displayed the thing he's going to display, which is he has the insane speed. Hey, look, here's a highlight, insane speed. If we get Keon Coleman making a post-up contested catch with his big mitts on the ball and the bang, there's the guy. So there's a little bit of not just any highlight, but is he showcasing that he's doing the thing they drafted him for early? That's what Kincaid did. Kincaid last year came in, and it was seamlessly fitting into the offense. Catch, turn, boom. Look at this. Look at the hands. Look at the smooth nature of his game.
Yeah.
When you showcase what you're drafted for, I feel like that resonates.
That is definite. That is definitely true. I guess it's just the nature of what were these good at. It's like how many different ways can you see that? You know, sometimes what the quarterback does matters too to that. But, like, man, they are – like comparing the Bills receivers and like to the league, like that's the right way to approach it, I think. And Kansas City, like they signed, I guess what they did is kind of similar, right? Like what was their starting point though? Because they didn't have their digs, they didn't lose. Their digs over the years has really been Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And Kelce is still playing at a super high level. You might say he had a down year last year, but by other tight end standards, it was still one of the best tight end seasons. It was if you took out all of Kelce's years, what the year he just had was about as good as everybody else ever has. 1,000 yards, 100-plus targets. He's still tremendous. And the Bills bring in Curtis Samuel. Well, Kansas City brings in Marquise Brown. You know, we're talking about like a second-tier receiver, free agent contract. It's not a big amount of money. Guy's done something in the league, showcases some talent. And then, you know, the Bills have Shakir, but how good's Rashee Rice? He was a rookie last year. I don't know that he's amazing, but he put up big numbers. He was very good yards after catch. They threw a lot of screens to him. And with Worthy now in the fold, the Bills, like, you better be near as good as them, at least. I'm thinking about their division, too. Like, they've already been passed by the Dolphins at that position, for sure, with Hill and Waddle. And, like, I don't know. Are they – how likely is it they'll have a better supply of weapons in the Jets at the end of the year? How are we going to feel about them in terms of their division at the end of the year? I'd be very tough for me to see them not at least being treated better than New England on that front. New England is nowhere when it comes to their weapons offensively. But, like, are you going to fall behind the Jets too now when it comes to your weapons? They've got the true number one. I don't know how much they've got after that. Mike Williams in the fold, but it's about if Samuel can step forward from what he's been on other teams and Coleman can provide anything as a rookie, I feel like I'm okay. But the standard for a team that should be top five in offense every year should be better than just okay. Like, someone's got to be a star in this group. And that probably should be Kincaid.
That's right. I still think a receiver has to be a borderline star. If you're going to be great, you're probably going to have someone show up and be great and break out. 803-0550 if you want to join us on this. Jeremy and Joe from training camp. So all that boils down to is Joe Brady. And Sal, in our conversation with him, talking about how the difference between running someone else's offense and installing your own. And if there's one thing, Joe, that Bills fans might be really like locked in on, is it run pass rate? Is it balance? Like, these are things we can't know until the start of the season.
Correct.
We could look at how Keon Coleman separates. You can't exactly report where guys are lining up, but fans in the stands can see, hey, Curtis Samuel's running out of the backfield or whatever it might be.
We might try to pick up on some positional battles for the few that there are.
How much is Keon Coleman? Oh, look, Coleman is playing a little bit of big slot. If you're standing out there, you can see it.
Oh, Matt Collins is getting reps with the first team.
Sure. All that stuff. There's absolutely no way to look into how much they run the ball, neutral game script, any of that stuff until you can't even do that in the preseason. You can't do it until the regular season. Warren Sharp had a number on the Bills that I found super interesting.
Okay.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Pass rate inside the 10-yard line.
Okay.
He clarified.
Yeah.
Drop back rate.
Okay.
Not pass.
Because
run. Because Allen.
Scrambles
yeah.
are going to be. That was going to be my first question. Yeah.
Where do you think the Bills finished in drop back rate when they were inside the 10-yard line? Going for the end zone inside the 10. The Bills drop back rate this past season. Again, it's a full season. Some Dorsey, some Joe Brady, but. Where do you think they finished?
This is a tough one to figure out because
it's like there's a lot of scheme here.
I might want to predict their high because they know there's always the Allen scrambling portion of a red zone pass play.
Right.
So I might want to predict their high up on the list for their pass rate.
The lowest pass rate belonged to Philadelphia. That shouldn't come as a surprise. They tush push.
The Bills, by the way, did a lot of tush push last year too.
That's right.
Yeah,
they did. Philadelphia was the lowest pass rate inside the 10.
Okay.
Then came Pittsburgh.
Not a surprise at all.
Then came the Bills and the Niners.
Wow.
Tied for the third lowest.
Third from the bottom.
They ran the ball inside the 10 a lot.
Yeah. How much of that again is their own version of the tush push? But it's not like other teams weren't doing it, too.
No,
there
were
a lot of teams doing it.
Some of it. I don't have the split on Brady v. Dorsey, but people were aware of Brady's – and I saw you tweeting about this the other day, too, that Brady got a lot of credit for committing more to the run. And Brady got credit for keeping the offense on schedule. That's really what they did. With Dorsey, they would move the ball and stall.
And they killed the turnovers. Or at least statistically. I don't know how much was they would have been trying to do that, but the turnovers did go away.
Yeah. Sometimes the stalls for Dorsey were turnovers. Sometimes Brett Coleman did a big, big breakdown for Underdog and for his bootleg podcast and pointed out that when the Bills would move the ball all over the place and then stall with Dorsey.
Right.
And that's why their EPA stats were good, and we would say, screw EPA, who cares?
Because they were empty drives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Brady, they linked things together. They kept things going in a way. So that's why he's one of the more interesting people in this entire organization right now, is because if I've got some things that were good, okay, that's good, but is his offense going to be that same offense? Does he want more big play? They spent the offseason talking a lot about big plays, which is not linking together, staying on schedule. They want explosive plays. So anyway, all of it comes back to what Joe Brady's offense looks like, what the run pass rate is looks like inside the 10, in the red zone, between the 20s, between the 40s. Like, we, every time we talk about how much there is to learn about this team, the changeover on offense is center, guard, offensive coordinator, receiver, receiver, receiver. It's all over the place. There's so much change. Quarterback coach.
Yep.
So
I don't know if there has been a more tough to figure out what does the coordinator want to do situation than what we're approaching. That is such, I mean, it's number two in Sal's questions on his article at WGR550.com. Like, what does Joe Brady want the offense to look like? It's so tough because what the limited background you have on him says is the guy wants to throw the ball maybe to a fault. That is, go back into his history in Carolina. Look up stories that writers in Carolina were putting together when he got fired for why he got fired.
My question would be, did he want to do that because they couldn't run it? You might have a coach that wants you to run the ball and you're bad at it.
Right. They didn't even really try to run the ball a lot. Maybe, no, you're right. Like, 17 attempts in a game was one of the problems Matt Rhule had, where he said, I want to run the ball more. We want to average 33 rush attempts per game as a thing that came out of that coach's mouth. And what did Joe Brady do? He threw the ball 49 times and ran the ball 17 times. And there's context required there, too. I know the game situation. How good were they running the ball? I don't remember how good they were running the ball, but it was said a lot in Carolina that he got fired because he wouldn't commit to the run. That his head coach wanted to run it, and he wanted to throw it, despite the fact that Teddy Bridgewater was his quarterback, by the way. But you look at, again, like, last year he ran it, and they threw the ball to the running back more, right? James Cook's rate of targets went way up when Joe Brady came in. Versus, you go look at Carolina, and what did he have in Carolina? DJ Moore, 118 targets, then 165 targets. Robbie Anderson, 136 targets for Robbie Anderson in a Joe Brady offense, then 110. Curtis Samuel in the 1 year he played for him had 97. He had three receivers in 1 year that almost had 100 targets. And
now he's got Josh Allen.
Now he's got Josh Allen, and now we got receivers that are like, oh, I don't really know if they even have a DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel trio. I think they probably don't. And they threw the ball to the running back more, and they ran the ball more, and it was a little safer, a little more conservative. Why was what we thought Joe Brady was as a coordinator, even if you want to go back to LSU too, a little different because he had two elite number ones there, why is what happened at the end of last year so different? And I really think I want to put my chips on. That was just the circumstance. That was just the reaction to what had happened under Dorsey. They were stalling on drives. They were turning the ball over. They didn't have the receiving core maybe that they thought they did, and it was getting them beat. So we got to do something else. We just did anything. We got to do something else. We got to run the ball more. We are going to throw the ball to the running back more.
Yeah, right. Like, you don't change guys for him to do the same job.
Right.
You're asking him, give me something different.
Exactly. And I think I want to believe that what they looked like on offense last year was more circumstance, and that what we're going to see from them on offense this year is going to look vastly different, because now they actually, Brady especially, has the ability to prepare for it. And I'm sure, I mean, the Curtis Samuel connection, he was with him in Carolina. I have to think that Brady would have said to Bean at some point during the offseason, like, I can do this with this guy. This is a player I didn't have last year. All those screens I tried throwing to Stephon Diggs that didn't work because it's not the type of player he is, this is the guy. Go get me a guy like this and I'll be able to work with it. So I think the offense is going to look vastly different than it did at the end of last year. I almost want to throw out the end of last year for what it means for Joe Brady.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Dipping into some stats from last year, turning the page to this year. It's day one of Bills training camp. We are out here seeing a lot of familiar faces, assembled media. Players not out yet. We'll see.
I haven't seen a player walk by.
Hear the click-clack, the cleats out, you know, walking down here.
Yep, yep.
Hear some pops from the
fans.
We
haven't seen Deion Dawkins ride by in his little scooter bike. Was it a scooter or was it like a mini motorcycle?
It's a good question. It's too.
When does a scooter graduate to?
I want to say
motorcycle.
That what Dawkins was riding was far too expensive to be called a scooter.
So it's a cost thing.
Yes, I'm going to say it's a price thing.
You're saying you can't have an expensive scooter.
Yes.
It's not a scooter anymore.
Yes, that can't be a scooter.
Interesting.
803-0550 to join us in 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, give us a call if you'd like. Mike Catalana joining us when we return as we continue coverage from Bills camp. Sean McDermott will carry it live at 9:15. His opening camp presser will be here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.